Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Monday morning, everybody. I am Glenda Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for February 27th, 2012, episode 346, sponsored by Omega Alpha. Good morning, Horse World.
Yep, it's Monday.
All right, let's take it from the top again.
Well, did anybody else find it incredibly hard to wake up grateful today because it's Monday morning? I love that you put that song in there because it's Monday morning. I had a three-day weekend, Glenn, thanks to you guys, and I definitely...
Well, you should be refreshed and ready to go. You should be all, zipping.
You would think that that's how it works, but when you have 3 days of not having to get up really, really early, you really quickly transfer into staying up late. That never works the other way of like, oh, you get used to getting up early. No, you get used to staying up late. So I had a really nice weekend. Friday night, I was able to stay up past 10 o'clock, which was like a really big deal for me.
Wow. You make it like 10:30?
You know how long? Let me tell you how long I made it till on Friday night. And that would be 2 o'clock in the morning. Glenn,
what?
2 a.m. Friday night is when I got home. I mean, come on. Yeah, my husband was with me. I didn't go out without him. But we had a pretty productive weekend. Friday night ended up winning $60,000. Unfortunately, it was money for charity, so we didn't get to keep it. But we did win some tickets to go see the Phoenix Coyotes play hockey. So we were the big winners at a function that we had to go to for Chad's work. So
I love minor league hockey, by the way. I think minor league hockey is one of the most exciting sports.
How dare you? The Phoenix Coyotes are NHL, baby. I'm so glad that they're on your radar.
How much I know about hockey.
It's like a real team and everything. They have uniforms and everything, Glenn. I know it seems odd to have a hockey team in the desert. I have thought about that, and it does seem odd. But there are actually NHL teams that play them, and most people do go to watch the other teams that come in town. But whatever, it's cool.
We used to go watch the Hershey Bears all the time in Hershey, Pennsylvania. That was a lot of fun. They were a minor league team. And they always do such fun stuff at the minor league games, you know, get the kids involved and do all kinds of things.
I got to go to the Gwinnett Gladiators had a game, and I got to shoot from half.
Did you get to do that? Yeah?
Yeah. I made it. It was awesome.
No, you didn't.
Totally did. It's on camera. I will send you a picture of me playing hockey with the Gwinnett Gladiators, and I scored. And my friend that did it with me, she like made it like 4 feet. I was pretty awesome. I'm not gonna lie.
Did you win a car?
No, I won a hockey puck. minor leagues, Glenn. Minor leagues. So, I don't know how we got to talking about hockey, but I won some hockey tickets because Chad and I had a function. It was a prohibition party where you have to dress up. It was for his squadron, and it's a fundraiser for charity.
30?
Huh?
Did you dress all 1930s?
I had a flapper dress on, I had some knee-high boots, and I stuffed we had to sneak in the alcohol, and I had little mini bottles of booze in my bra. And they were cold.
I was going to say, that must have been comfortable.
It was uncomfortable and cold, but I did enjoy the attention for about 5 minutes as I was walking in. Wow, when you have that, people look at them.
I'm not going to ask where Chad put his. I don't want to know.
He let me do all the illegal activities.
Oh, you had to do the heavy lifting?
Yeah, I did the cold lifting. I was like, oh, my God, these are freezing little mini bottles. Did you get them out of the freezer? Holy cow. So we went in, we snuck our booze in, and then we had, like, the Prohibition party, and it was on a rooftop in downtown Phoenix. It was a wonderful night, and Chad and I cleaned up on the gambling. We played blackjack until we won $60,000, starting out with each $2,500. So we did pretty good, and we ended up winning the hockey tickets, so we're lucky.
Well, I'm jealous you got to play blackjack all night. Even if it's not for real money, blackjack's fun.
But I'm going to tell you, there's still something very scary about laying down. I played one hand. We were, like, running out of time. Midnight deadline was happening. And so I put $8,000 down on the table as my bet. $8,000. It hurt me to do it with fake money. Okay, because I was, like, playing $25 chips. I'm like, that's it. I'm going all in. Boom. Throw $8,000 on the table, Glenn. I was in a cold sweat, okay? Got blackjack. I got blackjack on an $8,000 hand. They paid 3-2. Do the math. It was amazing. It was amazing. So we did very well. It was very fun. What did you guys have an exciting weekend of, I don't know. What do you do in Kentucky?
Actually, we did. We had kind of a normal weekend. We went out and worked with the horses on Saturday morning, and then just we didn't do a whole lot. We just hung around this weekend. Jennifer got the plague that's going around. It seems like everybody around here has that cold. I call it the plague. Has the plague, and that seems to be going around. So she spent most of the weekend on the couch trying to fight the plague, and now I'm hoping I don't get it, or you'll be doing shows by yourself this week because everybody loses their voice when they get the plague. So I'm hoping that the Kentucky flag doesn't hit me.
Jennifer and I will do the show without you. We don't mind. No, I'm just kidding. I hope you don't get sick. Take some vitamins.
All right. You know what? There's stuff I have to do this morning. I'll let you guys go. Have a great day.
Jennifer, help me. What's on today's show?
On today's Omega Alpha Monday edition, our daring duo of on-air daredevils will be providing the weekend narrative of eccentric equestrian activities. And the entertainment value goes up later in the show when Susan Runnels of the Omaha, yes, I said Omaha, Equestrian Foundation stops by to tell us about a new horse show in, yes, Omaha. And to complete the morning's musings, winner of the inaugural Retired Racehorse Trainer Challenge, the next best thing to the Oscars, Eric Dirks will be here to receive some accolades. So stay tuned.
Thank you, Jennifer. And actually, for us horse people, that is better than the Oscars was.
No kidding.
I have two daily winnings this morning. My first one goes out to our friend Jacob Arnold, who was on this show not too long ago. He is the one that won the Young Equestrian of the Year last year for the USEF here in the United States. And he also just competed. He just drove in the Little Everglades CDE, that's combined driving event, down in near Tampa, Florida, down in a place called Little Everglades, ironically enough. And he won the advanced single horse in that competition. I posted a video of him doing one of the marathon obstacles that our friend, actually David Saunders, took that video, and I posted that on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning this morning, so you can stop by and watch Jacob and his brother, who stands about 6'4", and you can tell when he's on the back, standing up in the back of the carriage, that he's a tall boy. It was just fun to watch, and congratulations to Jacob. It looks like he's continuing his winning streak this year. That is the first big event for the drivers of the season at Little Everglades, and of course, we're going to have, what's the event in Tampa for the riders? Jamie, help me out. Red Hills. Red Hills coming up. So that'll be in March. That'll be the first event for the riders coming up for the eventers.
Glad I could help you, Glenn.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for that help. I really appreciate it. See, you could not do this show without me. Second Daily Weenie goes out to Grant Gurr, who is a listener of ours in New Zealand, who posted a picture of him and his horse, Not Ideal, which he called Sally. By the way, isn't that not the cutest horse? And he got the Reserve Sport Horse Championship at the Franklin A&P in New Zealand. So congratulations to our listener, Grant Gurr, and thank you so much for posting that on our Facebook page.
Well, there was something we were watching over the weekend. We talked a little bit last week about Derby contenders and who we needed to start paying attention to. One of the horses we talked about was Algorithms. Algorithms was slated to run in the Fountain of Youth Stakes this past weekend. However, was scratched with a minor issue with a splint bone, I believe. So we didn't get to see Algorithms run, but we did get to see Michael Matz's Union Rags in the Fountain of Youth Stakes, who made it look easy. Glenn, play the audio.
They're racing in the Fasig-Tipton Fountain of Youth. Chaba broke a little out at the start there, and Discreet Dancer comes out running on the lead. Casual Trick is away running in second, and Union Rags is close. He's right there to the outside of horses, and oh, a tight spot there for Neck and Neck. Neck and Neck is down on the inside. Head the steadiest, Fort Loudon takes fourth. And now moving up on the outside is News Pending, and then comes Neck and Neck, who's trying to settle, and Chaba is the trailer. Only five lengths off the lead as they go to the backstretch. And Union Rags is well in hand right to the outside of him. Two lengths more back to Neck and Neck. And now Fort Loudon's under a ride, and then Chaba. Around the far turn, Discreet Dancer, the leader. Union Rags is moving now. There he goes. There goes Union Rags and Julian LaPeru, and they've taken the lead on the outside. Discreet Dancer has the rail. News Pending is third, and they're into the stretch, and it's Union Rags. Union Rags to the eighth pole, pulling away. And then it's News Pending, Discreet Dancer, followed by Neck and Neck, coming to the wire. Oh, what a comeback! Union Rags by four on the wire.
Yeah, so Union, thank you, Larry Thomas, for making the call there. We had him on the show last week. Yeah, Union Rags winning $400,000. Now, this is supposed to be a Kentucky Derby prep race, but watching that, they said that Union Rags didn't even wasn't even 100% for that race. So just no, you just can't even imagine how he's going to do when he gets closer to the Derby. And of course, Michael Matson was famous for training Barbaro, who won the Kentucky Derby. And you know, I guess when you think about Michael Matson and Barbaro, it kind of casts a shadow, I think, on another. On the Derby for him and moving up, and it's just going to be a great story if Union Rags makes it to the Derby, because it was so sad, and this is such a great opportunity, a second chance for him to get a horse into the big race. So good for him. I hope they have a fantastic season leading up to the Kentucky Derby.
Well, I saw a ton of articles over the weekend calling Union Rags now the favorite for the Derby. So obviously the media has picked up on Union Rags, and they're looking to Union Rags to be the one to watch here, so we'll see how that goes. Now, unfortunately, we didn't get to see Algorithms, and I wish we would have. You know, that was the horse we were kind of leaning towards. I said, well, let's see how the race goes, and now we didn't get to see him run, but I'm sure they said he's not totally out of the picture either, right?
Correct.
So they're gonna,
yeah.
Okay. So we still have a chance.
We still have a chance. He's just going to kind of wait a couple days and see. I believe it's Todd Pletcher's trainer, and he's going to kind of see what's going on. They're going to find the x-rays, see what happens. And they said he's definitely not out for the Kentucky Derby.
Good. Whew. All right. Well, we'll see what happens. Good job to the team over there with Union Rags. I wonder if Union Rags has a Facebook page yet. Do you know?
Let me see. I'll check.
Okay, go check. See if Union Rags has a Facebook page yet. It's important. At least follow him on Facebook. If he doesn't, then we're not following him.
Okay. Yes, Union Rags has a Facebook page.
Got to be technological savvy for us to follow a horse. That horse has to know how to tweet. Speaking of tweeting, yesterday I was working in some in the afternoon, so I had the TV on, and I was going to watch the Daytona 500. Well, it was rained out. And you know how you and I sometimes, when a guest cancels, we have to kill 15 minutes that we didn't plan on, and we end up just talking about nothing for 15 minutes, and how hard that is sometimes, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
The coverage for this race started at noon. There was rained out, kept getting rained out. They only called the race at 5:30. These guys were on the air for 5.5 hours vamping.
What?
I'm not kidding.
Serious?
They were truly running out of stuff to talk about. I mean, they were pulling footage out of their, you know, I'm sure they count on an hour. You know, you always count on an hour or two rain delay. So I'm sure they planned for that hour or two. They have some footage for old races. They were running out of footage for old races that they had prepared. They were really, it was kind of funny to watch because I could just relate. You know, you could just, in a small scale, we can relate to that. But, oh, my God, they're being watched by all these people around the world. It's first race of the year. Daytona 500 is always the big one. They are vamping for 5 hours. Oh, my God.
That's torture. I hope they got a bonus. Now, they should get smarter. They should get like baseball. When baseball has a rain delay, like I would go to the Braves games or be watching a Braves game at home, and they would go into a rain delay. And immediately what would happen on the screen at the stadium is they would start playing baseball bloopers. And then literally they had hours of baseball bloopers that they would play on the big screen. Everybody would sit around and watch that. Now, if you were at home watching, they would then play Cops. I don't know why that was the show of choice during a rain delay, but Cops, bad boys, what you gonna do? Never have I ever watched an episode of Cops except during rain delays for the Atlanta Braves. How odd is that? They should have had Cops on.
That probably would have fit.
Anyway.
It's the same kind of demographic, right?
Yeah. I want to say, hey, honey, this is the episode you're on. Come on over. Let's watch it. I mean, seriously, that'd be brilliant. Know your audience, people.
Either that or I was thinking monster truck races. You know, monster trucks go together, too. They should have had those on. But these guys, I did feel bad for them. It was bad. Anyway, I forgot totally what I was even going to say when I got off on that tangent. But let me do this. Let me say that Tammy Sarant, we need to congratulate her. That, of course, Tammy was on last week. She's the co-host of the Western Radio Show and also a mounted shooter, and she has a charity organization. She works with women who come from abused households and teaches them to ride and get their confidence back and things like that. And she does a number of other things. She is the marketing director for AXA. Well, she has been nominated, and the nomination was accepted for the Cowgirl Hall of Fame. Now, there's some pretty famous cowgirls in the Hall of Fame. Now, there have been a number of other nominations accepted. This does not mean she's in, but I'm supposed to write a little letter of recommendations, and I'll do that today for her. But I wanted to congratulate her. It's pretty cool to even have your nomination accepted for a Hall of Fame, and we're very proud of our own Tammy for doing that. So.
Congratulations, girl. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, and coming from Australia, there you go. Coming from Australia, you know, to the United States, what, 10, 11 years ago, and accomplishing everything that she has, she is a true cowgirl. And when you see her all blinged out, she looks like a cowgirl, that's for sure. Really Bad Ads is back this week, so we'll be here, right? Are we here Friday? Yeah, I think so.
I think so. I don't know where you're going
to
be.
So Really Bad Ads is back this week. We're going to make Jamie get up early and go back to work on Friday. So get your entries in for send them to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. We'll come up with another prize for you this week. So get your ads in. Make them good. And then we also want to thank Raven for the pics he posted from the Arabian Horse Show there in Scottsdale, Arizona. That's the big Arab show of the year. And he took a ride down there and posted some pics from the show on our Facebook page at Horses in the Morning. Just scroll down a bit. We thank Raven for doing that. I think he's from Arizona, not too far from there. So that's the housekeeping things I had to go over this morning.
No, it's not. It is not over. Huh? That is not all the housekeeping. Because I did not listen to Friday's show because I slept in, and I did not wake up until the show was actually over. And I know I can't go back and listen at horsesinthemorning.com, but I chose not to because why listen? Because my mother called me on Friday afternoon.
I don't know.
And she's like, well, that sounded, she was like, I hope you're okay. I was like, yeah, he just was doing this thing at some farrier convention and the competition. And I was not invited to participate. So I slept in. And she's like, well, let me just tell you what happened. You are the absolute winner. She said, every single person thought Glenn was absolutely crazy for saying that word that he's, she's like, it sounds ridiculous when he says it. How can he say that word? It just sounds silly. And of course, I, you know, egging her on, I'm like, tell me more, mother. She's like, who says hoof? Nobody said, that's not even a word. It's hoof. I'm like, Jamie, it is hoof. And I was like, mother, I know that. So what did everybody else say? And she said that everybody said that it was hoof, and they say you're crazy.
Your mother was taking a little bit of a poetic license there because I think she loves her daughter a lot. Because the contingent from Europe all says hoof. And a matter of fact, I started something because after the show was over, I walked over. They have a little place where they sell T-shirts and stuff. And I walked over there, and they were still discussing the proper way to say it. And so I and about half and half in that room were at the hoof hoof. So I kind of declared it a tie.
Glenn, I want to ask you something, and I want the honest to God truth.
Uh-huh.
Have you ever been to Europe?
No.
Are you?
But I love it. I love
descended
England
from Europe.
Wonderful.
Are you friends with a bunch of Europeans? I mean, literally, there's no reason that you, along with the Europeans, should say the same word. But
I grew up in Pennsylvania, Dutch country, where the Dutch come from Europe. See.
Let me hear your best European accent.
That's why it's hoof.
Let me hear your best European accent.
Let's see here. I'll give you something. You know what? We used to use this when we practiced, when we had the acting company and we had to do the old English accent. I can give you the old English accent. Will that work?
Go ahead.
Okay. Elizabeth Tudor had breakfast with me on a pound of strong beer and a pot of beef. I forget what that is. Elizabeth, a long time
Glenn,
since I did that
flagged.
One.
No more whiskey for breakfast. I'm sorry.
That was god-awful. That was god-awful. So you do not have the right to use a European pronunciation of the word hoof. You don't. Hey, mother, let's call in 347-637-3238. If you're listening, Mom, or anybody else who listened to this Friday show, let's be honest. Who was the declared winner? Apparently, I heard it was from more than just my mother that it was kind of embarrassing for you, that all the good old boy American farriers thought you were weird. And, you know, I don't think that you – this is the way they should pronounce it if you can't even do Old English. And you were, like, an actor.
It's been a while.
Can we hear that again?
Let me see if I can get it right this time. Elizabeth Tudor her breakfast would make and a pot of strong beer and a pound of beefsteak. From hawking and hunting, she rode back to town in time to knock an ambassador down. Yeah, I did remember
that. That was awful. That was awful. That is the worst accent. That's worse than my accent.
I was just going to say, and yours is just about as bad. Just about. Pretty close.
I don't say hoof. It's hoof. Can we disagree? Hoof, 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 hoof. Say it 100 times. Hoof, 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 hoof. You lose. I win. Let's be honest. I mean, come on. We got listeners on the line. They can agree with me. Apparently, I was the winner. Jennifer,
no,
what's your take on it?
Hoof, 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 hoof.
Y'all are ridiculous.
I can't help it. You grew up in the South where they talk funny and they come out hoof. You know, where they don't have
proper Everybody English. Says hoof. Everybody. Everybody says hoof. Unless you're maybe European and you say everything else with like a long O. Okay? You're wrong. Why can't you admit it?
How do
you lose?
How do you say everyone?
Everyone?
No, you don't. You say y'all.
Again, not a horse
Thank
word
you,
on a horse radio network show, okay? Come on, people. Let's get it together. Okay, we got to move on because I'm just getting mad at y'all because you're spoiled brats and you lost
the
bet,
and
how dare you?
Wait a minute. We have a listener calling in. Let's see what it is. Jennifer hasn't even screamed this, so let's hope this works out. Hi there. I don't know who you are, but you're on the air. Good morning.
Hoof.
Yay,
who is
Mama!
Who are we speaking to?
You're speaking to Mama.
Oh, hi,
Mama.
I think you took a little poetic license. Did you forget about that English guy who said hoof?
Actually, I think Jamie took a little bit of a poetic license.
called you out, Jamie.
No, but you, everybody except that one Englishman said hoof, hoof, hoof. Nobody, I never even heard of, what? How do you say it?
Hoof. It's spelled H-O-O-S. That makes it long. Hoof.
Oh, no. Sorry. Jamie's the declared winner.
If it was hoof, it would be H-U-F. Hoof.
That's huff.
See?
Huff.
I don't even know how you'd spell it your way, actually, come to think about it.
It's hoof.
It's hoof. It's hoof.
Oh, it's hoof. It's not hoof. My mom, seriously, what did you tell me on the phone? I mean, you were pretty cool. I did not take poetic license because you were like, everybody thought Glenn was crazy.
No, everybody except that one guy. But then again, Jamie's right. Have you ever been over there?
I love the English people. We love them. They're a big listener base of ours. We love them.
We love them for
sure. We have to respect their way of speaking.
Well, then you start saying horsies.
I like that, though. Don't you love that? Don't you love when she says horsies? Victoria, who comes on here on Tuesday.
I love her. I love her, and I love the way she says it. But, you know, you start saying that, too, now. I want to see Clint.
Yeah, guess what? It's not going to sound as sexy when I say it because he just makes it sound good.
But, it doesn't sound sexy either, okay?
No, not at all. Well, anyway, you asked me to call in. I'm here.
Thank you, Mom.
I do silently listen. But Jamie is the declared winner.
Yay, Mama!
All right, y'all have a good day. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, love you.
All right, love you too. Bye-bye. Right.
Bye.
You
know, this is kind of unfair because my mom can't call.
Not because your mom can't call. Because my mom said we won. We're the winners. You're the losers. Okay, let's move on. Thank you, Mother.
All right, Top Gear. Remember we talked about the show Top Gear last week, and I told everybody to watch it because they were going to race the Mustang cars against Mustang horses. Remember that?
Yes.
Well, they weren't really Mustang horses. They were probably some quarter horse varieties or some Hides 57s. I'm not sure. But they did do the race, and it was through the desert, and the cars had to stay on the road and to get to a certain point, and the horses could cut across the desert to get there. So it was this race, and the cars had to also do the speed limit, which was 75 in some places in the desert there. Well, I am happy to announce, who cares who won? There were no fake Winnies. Not one.
Really?
But not
what?
First show I've ever watched that they didn't have a fake Winnie with horses. It was amazing. I think they might have had some fake trotting and galloping sounds, but I'm not sure. I couldn't tell for sure about that, but they definitely didn't have any fake Winnies, and we're happy to announce the horses won by about 100.
Really?
Yeah, they cut across and they got the job done. The horses won. Now, those guys were booking. I mean, they were booking at times, but yep, the horses won. So that was...
Oh, wow. No fake Winnies and the horses won. That's a good show. That's a good day.
That's more than we can say for the darn Oscars.
Oh, man. What a bummer. So, yeah, nominated for 6 Academy Awards. And War Horse came home with nothing. But you know what? I'm looking at it, and it looks like most people came home with nothing. And, of course, like Best Picture, War Horse was nominated, Moneyball, Midnight Paris, Tree Like, The Help, Hugo, Extremely Loud and Incredibly Close, and what won? The Artist. Best Sound Mixing, War Horse was nominated, Hugo won. Best Sound Mixing, War Horse was nominated, Hugo won. Best Cinematography, War Horse nominated, Hugo won. Best Original Score, War Horse nominated, The Artist won. Best Art Direction, Hugo won. I mean, it's like the only 2 movies won anything. I would like to send out a congratulations to my girl Meryl Streep, who did win Best Actress because she was the Iron Lady. But pretty much that's only because nobody from The Artist was nominated. Or Hugo.
I have a question. I posed this one to Glenn last night. Best Cinematography. That's the camera work. That's, you know, the camera angle and the lighting. How can a movie that's 80% CGI win Best Cinematography? That's Best Computer Animation in my book.
Yeah,
I think
you're
true.
Absolutely right. That's BS. I just hate that when, you know, you've got all these amazing movies and nothing gets recognized besides, like, one or two. I just hate it when they do that. Now, I haven't seen The Artist, and I do want to see it really bad, but I don't think that between that and Hugo, there's too many other awesome pictures that should have been recognized, don't you think?
Yeah, and apparently, I didn't watch the show. We watched the red carpet and, you know, criticized all the dresses. And then we got to the show part, and we watched the beginning where, you know, the beginning where they do the opening thing. And, you know, Billy Crystal just wasn't as good as he has been in the past, or they didn't give us enough material. I don't know. But I just didn't think that was as good. And then I fell asleep and never did see any of the nominations or anything. So I don't know what happened after that. But I read that they only had two songs, and they were both songs from the Muppets. Now, the Muppets did win Best Original Song. But then the Best Original Score was won by The Artist, which I guess, you know, seeing that the only thing in The Artist, it's a silent movie, the only thing in The Artist is the score, is the music. If it doesn't win for that, the movie's going to suck, right?
Yeah. I was kind of disappointed. First of all, War Horse should have won something, for God's sake. I mean, it's Steven Spielberg, for crying out loud. Don't you think
they could have invented a category,
something?
Best Horse in a Movie? War Horse.
How did Joey not win Best Actor? I mean, seriously. Joey should have taken home Best Actor. I don't know what his real name is, but Joey was the horse, and he should have won. Let's see, who did win Best Actor? Good, the guy from The Artist. Shocker. I can't believe it. George Clooney did not win for The Descendants. Then you've got Best Supporting Actress went to The Help, and then it pretty much ends there. Everything else was like Hugo or The Artist.
Yeah,
hey,
it was
Best
pretty
Director,
much,
The Artist.
It was pretty much a Scorsese night. I mean, he pretty much just wrapped up everything, and it was his night for sure.
Right.
For some reason, they decided that he was the one that should win this year, and that's what happened.
I guess so. Maybe he's on his deathbed or something. They were like, we better give him some awards quick. His last one.
Well, let's talk about Omega Alpha. And then we're going to have, thanks to Chris over at the Eventing Radio Show, we have a little bit of sound. She had Boyd Martin on the last Eventing Radio Show. We're going to play a little bit of that. Of course, Boyd Martin is one of our favorite eventers here on Horses in the Morning. And he won Best in Breeches in our Hottest Horseman contest. So we're going to catch up with Boyd as we're coming up to Rolex here at the end of next month. You'll hear us starting to talk about Rolex. We'll be doing our live shows, all four live shows from Rolex at the end of April. So we're going to do that right after Jamie talks a little bit about Omega Alpha.
Well, Omega Alpha is a fantastic supplement company, and they will, you know, Omega Alpha cares about what you feed your horse. You care about what you feed your horse, and you know, all told, probably we care about what they eat more than what we eat. You know, we take them to a horse show, and we make sure we have every little meal packed up, and all their supplements are put in these separate containers, and they have all their balanced nutrition, and then we go to horse show, and we eat French fries. So it tells you anything about how much more we care about our horse's diet than ours. There's your prime example. Well, Omega Alpha also cares about what your horses eat, and that's why they only use natural formulation for enhancing equine health and performance, and all of their products are made by them using only the finest natural ingredients available. The other difference with Omega Alpha is the science that goes into their products, and Dr. Chang is well-respected in the industry as a pioneer of putting in the right natural ingredients together to make formulations that work for your horse. They have a wide range of products to help you, your horse, your dog. See them all at omegaalpha.ca. That's omegaalpha.ca.
Well, now we're going to get caught up with what Boyd Martin has been up to. And for those that aren't real big eventing fans, you might remember we talked a lot about Boyd last year because he did very well last year. His horse won Horse of the Year. He had that fire, that tragic fire at his barn where he lost several horses. You're going to hear him refer to that sort of towards the end of this interview. It's about 7 minutes long, but we wanted to catch you up. This is Chris Stafford at the Eventing Radio Show, catching up with Boyd. He is in Aiken now, so at the beginning of this conversation, you're going to hear him talking about being in Aiken. That's South Carolina, right? You never remember if it's North or South. South, right, Jamie? Remember?
It's in the Carolinas. Let's go with that.
Yeah, it's in one of those states. All right, so this is Boyd.
Well, good. Now, you're down there for the whole of the season, are you? How long do you stay into the spring, Boyd?
A couple of months here. I think our group's probably here for nearly 3 months. We're going to, we got here at the beginning of the year in January, and then we're going to do all the eventing down this way and then head home via Southern Pines Horse Trial, the number two one, which I think might be in the third week of March or something like that.
Right. So, and have you got something for Rolex? Are we going to see you in Kentucky?
Yeah, starting to gear a few of the old boys up and a couple of the younger advanced horses. So at the moment, it's not finalized, but I've sort of, in the back of my mind, got Yin Yang Yo, Otis Parvutier, and Remington getting fit for the chance of competing there. And all three of them are obviously maybes, but if all goes well, I might have three out there.
Well, that's a jolly good amount of horsepower you've got there. And you haven't mentioned, of course, someone that I know our listeners will want to know how Neville Bardos is.
Yeah, Neville's going great guns. He's got the bye, luckily. He's the selectors and the coaches have all said he's proved himself over the last couple of years. So I think he's gearing up, sort of heading towards a couple lead-up events towards the Fork horse trials and then a couple lead-up events towards CIC 3-star at Bromont. I think he's in really good shape. We've got Bettina Hoy coming in tomorrow. She's doing a 2 or 3 day clinic here in Aiken, helping me with the horses, and then had the USEF training sessions here also yesterday and today, which was Lauren Huff was helping everyone show jump. So it's been plenty of action, plenty of training, and Sue has been competing, Neville, in a couple of the straight dressage shows in Florida. So it's all going forward, and hopefully gearing towards a positive month in, what is it, June or July or something?
Yeah, July I think is going to be the big month, isn't it? So, Boyd, you went out to Paradise. It's nice to say you've been to Paradise, isn't it? But it was Paradise Farm. I went to Paradise last year, by the way. Did I tell you that?
No, I didn't know you'd been there.
I had been to Paradise myself. Paradise, you know, is a tiny, tiny little place up on Lake Superior, right at the tip of... And they call it Paradise, and I'm not sure why, because it's one of those one-horse towns. You know, there's really nothing there, but they call it Paradise. Anyway, you were at Paradise Farm Horse Trials, I know, and as I said, picked up a few ribbons in the open. Novice took the babies out. Tell us about that.
It's a great event. You know, I think Aiken's got a bunch of great events at the moment. We've been eventing 3 days a week at the moment. We do a weekend show, a midweek show, and then a weekend show, and so on. And it's really cool. Like, they're only 10 minutes, 15 minutes drive down the road, and Paradise was another great one of these events. They only ran up to preliminary, so it was a great opportunity to pull all the young horses out and dashed around on a few of the new ones and had a couple for sale horses, and really, really good course, and great jumping ring and dressage ring, and it was a great event to see all the professionals on their young and up and coming horses, and plus all the eventing enthusiasts down here in Aiken having a dash around the prelim or training or whatnot. And I think it's a wonderful vibe down here, and it's a great feel, and the events are great, and the courses are good, and a whole lot of fun.
Well, let's just mention the names of those, Boyd, because they're horses that you're bringing up through the ranks, either to sell or to ride yourself, and there'll be some names that maybe our listeners would like to become familiar with. So let's go down that order. The horse that you won with, Balaniti.
Yeah, Balaniti's, it was actually bought out of Ireland last year. George and Gretchen Winterstein, who own Sharon Neville and half of Steady Eddie, went over and picked this horse out. He's about 70% thoroughbred, and the rest is Irish, and he's a real mover and a good scopey jumper, and I think we're all very excited about him at the moment. So And then we had Quinn himself, who was Bonnie Stett, who owns Sharon Neville and Otis, and she bought him to replace her horse that died in the fire, and he's going great guns. I think he's finished on a 23 or something in the novice. And then a horse called Waranga, which I bred in Australia, he's by a Grand Prix show jumping stallion out of a Breed Invader mare, and Breed Invader was the sire of Ready Teddy. So it's a good event in blood, and he's owned by, I think I own him half with Amy Lindgren, who's one of my first ever supporters. And and then another exciting horse is called New Cadet, owned by Anne Hennessy, who also lost a horse in the fire. And this is a replacement for that horse. And he's looking the part. And then, I don't know, I think I rode a couple for sale horses that went really well. And, you know, it's just a great weekend all round.
Well, there's a whole bunch of horses right there, Boyd. How many do you have in work right now? Can you count them all up?
We've got a good group of horses. I mean, I've got to say, I'm actually slimming down on the numbers a little bit, do too much, you know, and I've got to say now I've got it down to a realistic number of good quality horses that, you know, I'd like to think they're all horses for the future. And I've got a super group of staff at the moment, which is, anyone in the horse business knows that the good people are hard to come by, and we've got a great team of Lindsay, who is the groom of the year, and then I've got an assistant rider, Caitlin Sermer, and then an up-and-coming rider called Sarah Gumbiner, who are both fantastic, fantastic jockeys, and then a couple of working pupils, which I'm training up, and Emily Van Gameren, who's having her first advance this weekend at Pine Top, and another girl called Erin Langman from Ohio that's learning the ropes as well. So we've got an awesome group, and I feel like we've got a super duper group of horses as well. So it's a very enjoyable day out at the farm every day, working away.
Well, this is Horses in the Morning, and you just heard Boyd Martin on the Eventing Radio Show with Chris Stafford. You can hear the rest of that episode. He was co-hosting that episode number 182, and it sounds like he's got a lot of good horses and looking forward to a great year coming up. Well, we're going to talk about something that I find very unusual. That's Hunter Jumpers in Omaha. Yeah, Omaha, Nebraska. That's right. Kind of not what you expect. You usually hear about Western out of Omaha, but we're going to be talking about that with Susan Runnels, Executive Director of the Omaha Equestrian Foundation, in just a minute. But first, it's time for our Song of the Day, brought to you by Pocket Stable. You know, Pocket Stable is, by the way, I turned on a lot of the farriers over the weekend when I was at the farrier thing. They had never heard of Pocket Stable. And when I talked about it on the show, we had an audience, about 10 or 12 of them were standing around, and they all got, I see them getting out their iPhones to download Pocket Stable. And I think they're going to be telling a lot of their clients about Pocket Stable. And I think that's how Pocket Stable has grown so big, is that veterinarians and farriers are using it, and they're telling their clients to use it. The little iPhone application that will help remind you of when your shots are due, your farrier visits, or your dentist visits, all of those things. And I guarantee you there's more farriers now out there after the weekend talking about Pocket Stable. It's only $3.99. You can find it in the App Store on the iPhone at Pocket Stable or at pocketstable.com. Today's song is Ride My Horse More by Jared Rogerson, and all of his music can be found at jaredrogerson.com. And we'll be back with our next guest in just a minute.
City smoke in the air, you can't see it from anywhere. There's a million people driving around, going nowhere. Buildings grew up all around me, but I still got a painted pony. Gonna give her a job, 'cause she's fat and bored. And I'm gonna ride my horse more. Well, I love to drive my truck. The open road feels pretty good. But just because you can doesn't mean that you always should. And I can hardly breathe. Man, this is killing me. I'm gonna ride my horse more. Mother Nature, she's been beat up. But I'd say she's been abused. Now even the ocean, black and blue. Gasoline just turns to haze. And my wallet's on empty anyway. Holding the reins is something I can afford. So I'm gonna ride my horse more. Well, I love to drive my truck. The open road feels pretty good. But just because you can doesn't mean that you always should. And I can hardly breathe. Man, this is killing me. I'm gonna ride my horse more.
Well, that was Jared Rogerson, and you can find all of his music at jaredrogerson.com. That was Ride My Horse More. You're listening to Horses in the Morning. I am Glenda Geek here with Jamie Jennings, and Coach Jennifer is over there, and she is producing today. We're having a great day here talking about different stuff today, and what I think the reason we have this guest on is talk about different. Usually when we talk about Omaha and we talk about horses, we're talking about some kind of Western event. Well, Susan is changing that. She's the executive director of the Omaha Equestrian Foundation. And, Susan, we're not talking about reining or roping or barrel racing today, are we?
No, we are not. We are talking about horse jumping exclusively with the International.
Wow. You know, do they allow you in that state? I'm just checking.
Absolutely they do.
Okay, I'm just checking. I didn't know if you're not wearing a cowboy hat and boots. I didn't know if you were allowed in Omaha.
Oh, absolutely. In fact, it's very, very exciting because Omaha is really starting to become that city where we are really bringing a lot of championship type of sports into. We've got the College World Series. We've got the swim trials coming. We've got the U.S. Skating Championships coming. And now we're bringing a completely new demographic into the Omaha area with our horse jumping show that's coming. And it's going to be an extremely exciting, very different horse show that anybody's used to. So it's very exciting.
Well, I was looking on here. You're sponsored, it looks like, by RFD, huh? For this, RFD is your presenting sponsor for this?
You know what? They are, actually. They when the founder of RFD TV met with our founder of the International, they met, and he's like, this is a no-brainer. He's wanted to get into the equestrian world and the horse jumping world, and so we're just putting the two together, and it's working out phenomenal.
Well, that's great. So when is the competition?
You know what? It's April 20th and the 21st, which is a Friday and a Saturday. And as I said, and Friday night is a speed class, and Saturday night, Friday is the Mutual of Omaha Speed Derby, and then Saturday is the Grand Prix. And it's interesting because I know a lot of people who are familiar with the horse jumping industry, this is going to be like a production in the evenings. And we're going to have, you know, lights, and we're going to have music, and we're having an amazing presentation. We're going to be having the Cowgirl Chicks. Their trick riders opening up. They actually rescue horses, and we're going to have relay.
They've actually been on our shows a number of times. We love the All-American Cowgirl Chicks. Yep.
Oh, absolutely. They're wonderful, and RFD TV is bringing them. And they're we have a very strong military tie because I don't know if anybody knows, but the horse jumping industry came from the cavalry days, and that's how they would train their horses. They would have these horse jumping shows and to prepare for war. So we have a very strong military theme. In fact, the Omaha Equestrian Foundation, all proceeds will be going to the local programs to help reintegrate military men and women back from deployment. And so we have Colonel Russell, who is the actually the last person who participated when the Olympics were military men only. He was the last one, and he's going to be there. And then we have the oldest cavalry, last living cavalry soldier in Omaha, Nebraska. And he's going to be showing there, too. So it's very, very exciting. We've got the 80 million champion. It's a book, and it's about Snowball. And anybody in the horse world knows about Snowball. And he's actually going to be showing at our show, too. So it's we are just educating the Omaha area because, like you said, it's very Western. And the Midwest is very Western. So our show is taking a very strong education to really open it up. And we're really trying to put Omaha on the map for the equestrian world, just to look at us, and we really want to develop this into the Midwest.
Okay, I have a question. So you say you're going to have Snowman, the $80 champion there. How do you mean that he's there?
Well, he's going to be there. Are you familiar with the book?
Yes.
Yes, well, the man who bought this horse for $80, he has agreed to come to the International.
Okay, gotcha. So Harry Dallaire is going to be there. I'm like, Snowman won't be there.
No. That would be kind of difficult. But he is actually going to be here and explain his story and kind of help us promote our show. Our show is, as I said, it's a different business model, and we're very, very excited to bring it to the Omaha. And the facilities in Omaha for the indoor CenturyLink is an incredible, it's a very high-tech facility, and it's incredible. We're able to host 240 horses inside this arena in this CenturyLink facility that we have.
So you keep talking about it being a different business model. I think it's exciting. You know, what exactly is so different about your show as opposed to other horse jumping shows?
Well, what we were doing, as I said, we are really trying to creating a different aspect from when the riders come, they're going to experience something very different. And as I said, just with our facility that we have with the CenturyLink, everything is going to be indoors. We actually have a hotel that is connected that you can skywalk to the CenturyLink, and everything is going to be all under one building. And we've got the warm-up area there. We've got the stalls in the back. We've got the arena that they'll be able to go to. So just in that aspect of everything in the indoor and everything under one roof, I mean, right there, that's that we're able to handle that. And then, we're going to create it to be a lot more of a production. And we have a lot of sponsors that are sponsoring our event to really kind of help with the fees for the riders to come participate in our show.
Well, good deal. Congratulations on getting it all put together. I think, you mentioned that RFD was a sponsor. Will we be able to watch any of it on RFD?
You know what? Actually, yes. They're going to create like a documentary because I said we're really kind of about, you know, educating, especially in the Midwest, because the equestrian, horse jumping is just not you know, it's more about horse racing or Western, like you said. So they're going to actually be putting a documentary, and it's going to be really cool. And they are going to, from, you know, building the stall to the, you know, victory gallop, and they're just going to kind of show the whole process and highlight some riders and horses and the people involved in it. And that will debut probably like a week, week and a half after the event. They are going to have some live web streaming on their website that you'll be able to see live. But they decided to create a documentary out of it first. So, and it's very exciting because RFB TV is, they have just been a phenomenal partner in helping us with this.
Well, that's terrific. And you can find out more about it at worldclasshorseshows.com. That's the right address, right?
Yes, or a little easier one to understand is internationalomaha.com. And we also have a Facebook. That you can get all the daily happenings, and we're also giving away free tickets on Facebook, if some, you know, for running little competitions and things like that. So,
well, if you live in the Midwest or around the Omaha area, then check it out. It's April 20th and 21st, just coming up here in less than 2 months now, and you're going to want to see it. I'm looking at the entertainment you have coming in, and it does look like it's going to be a show and a production. And good luck with it. We wish you the best of luck, and we hope that everybody in Omaha turns out to support the jumpers.
Oh, we will. It will be a phenomenal event. Pretty soon you'll be saying, hey, Omaha, Nebraska, that's where the equestrian industry is starting to turn to. So.
All right. Well, good. Well, thank you so much, Susan. We appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. You have a great day.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, now we are going to... Time for the weekend roundup. But before we get to that, I wanted to mention that on the Stable Scoop show last week, that's now live, we had Mike Blowen on, who's president and founder of Old Friends, the retirement community here in Georgetown, Kentucky. And we had a great conversation. Jamie was feeling chatty that day. And we had a terrific conversation with him. Do you realize that Old Friends retirement facility now has 120 horses?
Oh, my gosh. And I mean, you're talking about Old Friends with they have a lot of the more famous stakes winners and racehorses there, correct?
Yeah, he's tried to mix it up. They do have a lot of those, but he's tried to mix it up, and he's gotten some horses now in that haven't won much. He also started a facility in New York now near Saratoga, near the racetrack up there. So he has a retirement facility in New York that's an extension of Old Friends. And he said that he has 70 thoroughbreds on the waiting list.
Wow.
They even have a trainer now that is full-time with them that trains the ones who aren't ready for retirement yet. Maybe they're a little younger. They're not lame. You know, they can do another job. So they are retraining and rehoming some of the ones that come in that are younger. But he has quite an operation there. He's a neat guy, very fun guy. And if you want to learn more about that, just check out the Stable Scoop show. Go to stablescoop.com. It was episode number 184. All right, it is time for the weekend roundup, and then we're going to have, at about 10:15, we're going to have Eric Dirks, the winner of the Retired Racehorse Trainer Challenge over the weekend. You remember we had him on before, and he won over the weekend, and I think he's going to get out of bed to come on and talk to us because he's probably pretty tired.
It's time for the weekend roundup.
Well, you talked me into it.
Well, we have some stories here from the weekend, and the first one was our guest coming up, Eric Dirks, winning the Retired Racehorse Training Challenge over the weekend. 1,660 seats were filled, and they said that they were standing six deep on three sides of the arena. So this place was packed in Pennsylvania at the Horse World Expo to watch this. They apparently got a lot of momentum in the weeks leading up to this, and he had his horse, Brazilian Wedding, was out there, six-year-old mare, and he won over the weekend. Now, they said it was tough to pick a winner because they were all pretty good, and there were three trainers. We had them all on over the last couple of weeks. Their online videos of the whole training process were viewed over 50,000 times, and now they are talking about doing a second one that will include both amateurs and professional riders and take place over a three-month period of time. And Jamie, at the Kentucky at Rolex, They're going to do a public demonstration and event in the afternoon and evening of cross country. So I'm looking forward to seeing what they're putting together for that.
Like, they're going to use these same horses, or are they going to be working
they
with
don't
new
say.
Ones? Oh.
Don't know.
Pretty
I
much
don't know what it's a
mystery.
It's a surprise.
Okay. Well, I think it was a great event, and I know I'm definitely looking forward to some more of them. Maybe get one over here on the West Coast for these West Coast racehorses. But I think it's a fantastic thing. And Eric winning was really, really cool. And the judges, of course, were. Did you notice who some of the judges were?
Yeah, there are a few big names in the judges too.
Yeah, we had Jimmy Wofford was a judge, and also. We've had him on the show several times. Alex, is it Smith? Alex Smith from, he's the one
Brown.
Who wrote the book
Alex
about Barbaro. Brown. Alex Brown
Alex
wrote
Brown.
The book about Barbaro. He's the big Animal Kingdom fan, remember? He's picking Animal
yeah.
Kingdom.
Yeah, I remember.
Everything. I bring that up because you two didn't get along very well. I thought, Glenn, you should have been there. You could have introduced yourself. So great, great event. When I saw that, I was like, oh, that's funny. That's so funny. Maybe we can be the judge the next time. well, speaking of Rolex and speaking of what is going on there in Lexington, Kentucky, the last weekend in April, of course, is always the last weekend in April, and it's followed the next week by the Kentucky Derby. There's also something else going on in Louisville, the weekend of Rolex. And for those who aren't going to Rolex, well, then I guess I have something else for you to do. And it's called Appassionata, the beginning. And Appassionata, the beginning, Glenn, as you explained it to me, it's kind of like a, remember Cavalia? This is a different
yep.
company, but their version of Cavalia, I mean, that sounds terrible to say. Their own version of a horse equestrian theatrical production. And horses and riders dancing to music and stunt riding and dressage and everything there. So are you going to try to get to go to this?
Well, I don't know. It's during Rolex, which makes it difficult. Now, they are touring the country, and I didn't see the schedule. It looks like fun, by the way. And by the way, this is a huge event over in Europe. They, you know, where they say hoof. They had 40 European cities that they've been to with over 5 million people have seen this show. So it's a pretty big production over there, and they're bringing it to the United States for the first time. And I'm looking to see here if what – see, they don't – I cannot find anything about where they're going to be in North America. Maybe if somebody could post what the cities are going to be. And I'm taking a look at the press release here to see if they have anything. I'm just not seeing anything on the press release either. So I know it's starting in Louisville. I know they're supposed to be touring the country. And as we get more information on that, we'll let you know. Do you want to hear a little bit of the trailer?
Yeah, do you have some?
There's pretty horses, pretty white horses doing dressage and riding around the arena with all kinds of fancy costumes. The dancers. Music's good.
I feel like I should be doing yoga
right,
or getting a massage.
The music's not doing very much for you at this point. Okay. We're now doing, we're now driving horses from their backs over fire.
That's Roman riding.
Roman riding over fire. And now we're carrying flags. Now we have dancers. Oh, we have free lunging, it looks like. We have acrobats.
Liberty.
We have pretty black horses doing dressage. Thank you. And it says it's soon going to be captivating North America. Oh, and there's comedy with horses. Oh, there's a donkey. There's skiing behind horses. Okay, this guy's underneath the horse and just went all the way around underneath the horse and back up. Jennifer's done that, but unintentionally many times. Oh,
okay.
And then... And there you go. Up. And lots more horses.
I'm gonna give Glenn, I'm gonna give you a little piece of advice here. Someday when you're, you know, you've decided to move on from the Horse Radio Network and somebody says, Glenn, stay in radio. Here's the job you need to do. You need to be a color analyst for, like, a professional sports team. Don't take that job. Please, God. Please. And then there's that guy that kicks the ball, and he kicked it. And then somebody caught it.
My horses wasn't good enough?
And then there's another guy that ran the ball. Wait, he's still running. Okay. And then they dropped it, and somebody else got it. And then it's over. Yeah, there's a black horse, and there's some guy driving the black horse from its back. And I was loving it. Loving it. You painted a picture beautifully, Glenn. It was wonderful.
Oh, the music helped me. Hey, we looks like we went off the air for a bit there, according to everybody on Facebook. And apparently we are back now. So we're glad we're back. We did not realize we were off the air for a minute. And to answer Mary's question, where's the interview with Eric? Well, we're supposed to get him on at about 10:15. Jennifer's going to try and give him a call a little early and see if we can round him up. But he'll be here in just a couple of minutes. What other news did we have? The Irish have, let me see here. The Irish have now sort of set, well, let's just say that their Olympic team is taking shape. They have two show jumping riders and two eventing riders that are in position to secure qualifications for the 2012 Olympics. They have Bill Tomey and Dennis Lynch have secured two Olympic show jumping places. And then also they have Camelia Spears and Mark Kyle have jumped in there on the eventing side and have guaranteed qualification. And Michael Ryan is also in course to secure the third spot in eventing. So they're starting to develop their team, and we'll know more on March the 1st. And we have a lot of listeners in Ireland, and I wanted to say hello to all of you.
Hey, I got a really awesome story for you that I just found, and it's on horseandman.com, and we're going to have to link to it because it's the National Equine Resources Network. It was on their Facebook page. Norco is the subject of this article. Apparently, here's the headline. The Riverside County city known as Horsetown, USA, has more miles of riding trails than paved roads. It's considering a proposal to cash in on all of that equine waste by building a manure-to-energy conservation plant. Apparently, it says Norco's on the receiving end of 65 tons of manure produced each day by its population of 17,000 horses. And as we all know, they don't have, like, a super bunch of pasture space. It's all, you know, 1 to 2 acre places. So they're trying to go really green, and we'll definitely have to keep up with that because the city council voted it through, and Norco's going to start zoning and constructing a plant for manure. Very good.
Well, they certainly had a lot of it because when we were out there, you know, they had to everybody had to have dusters because you're really on half acre, 2 acre lots with 2 or 3 horses. So it was an issue in that town.
Yeah, it absolutely was. So we'll definitely keep you up to date to that. Maybe let's get the mayor of Norco on again and talk to him about it. But right now we have our next guest on the line, and I've got to send out a big congratulations to Eric Dirks, winner of the Retired Racehorse Training Challenge with his trusty partner, Brazilian Wedding. Congratulations, Eric.
Thank you very much, Glenn and Jamie.
Well, it is a pleasure having you on. I know you must be exhausted. You kind of had a busy weekend. Kind of paint a picture of us for us, for those who haven't heard a lot about it. What actually went on this weekend? What did you have to do with Brazilian Wedding?
Well, I feel like a superstar because I've never been to the Pennsylvania Expo, and I was shocked on the number of people that were there. It was just over the top. And when you put that many people, I don't know if anyone was left in the booths, but they were all in the stadium at one time. There must have, I think Stewart was saying there were close to 3,000 people in the stadium. And to take a off-the-track thoroughbred and enter an arena where all those eyes are on you, we just didn't know what was going to happen. But, you know, I was so surprised by how well these off-the-track thoroughbreds handled it. From the exposure to all multi-disciplines to multi-breeds of horses and quite pandemonium there, I think there was so much to distract them that they were looking for us to be the leader. But we went in the stadium where Stuart was the ringmaster, and we needed to show what we've been working on with these horses for the past month after they've been off the track. And it was just exhilarating. Both Carrie and Tiffany did a wonderful job, and I was very happy with Brazilian. And we were able to jump a small course, and I got to explain as I was doing it what I'm looking for from the horse and what would be the next steps to go with her. So very educational, and was also a good competition at the same time.
Now, do you have a lot of experience riding and teaching kind of at the same time? Because the article I read about this from the Chronicle of the Horse was that you were such a natural presenting what you've done and what you were doing while you were actually on the horse and doing these things. Do you have a lot of experience doing that?
Well, it's something that I'm quite passionate about. I do teach a lot. I do a lot of clinics. And when you're teaching a group and riding a horse, and I think I've adjusted today's culture where people like to take a snapshot of a moment and immediately judge. So I like to explain everything that I'm doing so that people could understand and follow me through the whole training process instead of just watching me and judging immediately what they think what's going on. Because a lot of what's going on is not perceptive to untrained eye. So I like to train people's eye to what they're seeing and what they're looking for on their horses. So it's something that I'm very used to doing, explaining while I'm on the horse.
Oh, I thought that when I read that about that you, I thought that's the most brilliant thing that you could possibly do, because, you know, maybe the crowd with 3,000 people out there, they don't understand why you're putting a horse on a circle or you're moving it for whatever you're doing at that moment. You know, maybe your horse is getting a little tense. Maybe he's getting a little forward. And I love the fact that you were able to kind of communicate that. And what a great opportunity to educate the people in the crowd. Now, I also heard that you did a lot of video blogs keeping up with your horse the entire time, correct?
Yes. Yeah, I did more of an educational side to the videos, and for the same purpose. You know, unfortunately, we live in a very judgmental world, and if I post a video of me just riding the horse, there's going to be a lot of criticism of, why is he doing this and why is he doing that? And so I love to explain as I go along with the journey of training these horses and try to get the popularity into the fun of training horses rather than just showing the horses. I think we get so caught up in the showing that we forget about having fun training these horses and look at the little rewards that the horses give back to us when they are willing to work for us.
I've always said that the best trainer is one who can always explain. You know, if a trainer tells you to do something, ask why. And if they can't explain why, then you need to find a new trainer. And that's what I liked about your training methods was you always had a reason for what you were doing. And it's thought on and it's planned, and it's just a great way for everybody around to learn and for the horse to learn too. Now, reading what, you know, the judges said about you, Jimmy Wofford obviously, you know, needs no introduction. And he thought that he said, I quote, "I thought that horse was the most typical of what people think of an off-the-track thoroughbred. She's a difficult ride, and Eric had done a very good job to bring her along." Do you agree with him? Was she a difficult horse?
I think she was what people perceive on the video, and her nature was a little bit different if you were to hop on her. She is not the most difficult horse of, you know, horses. She's a typical thoroughbred. But she is one of those horses that are going to be a lot more competitive. She has a little bit of fire in her belly, but it could be put to really good use. So I don't like to say the word difficult, but I would say that she's a very competitive horse. She's, like I described before, she's got the eye of the tiger, and how people perceive that is what makes them difficult or not. A lot of times horses are perceived of being very strong when, in fact, they're just looking for a leader and needing to be put in balance.
Jimmy also said, though, he also said that he wished he'd brought his horse trailer along. So,
yeah. Yeah, I highly respect Jimmy. Jimmy has been an idol of mine since reading about him on The Optimist and all his books, and I've clinicked with him in the past, and I've even used a lot of his exercises in the challenge just to, and I pointed out to Jimmy, too, when I was jumping a fence and she landed on the incorrect lead of where I wanted to go, I turned towards the arena wall instead of just falling to the inside of the arena doing nice straight lines to train the horse. I said, this is a old trick that Jimmy taught me in the past and I still use today. But Jim Wofford is the one I have to give credit to this.
Oh, there's no book. I take it with me to every horse trial, and that's Jimmy Wofford's book, Training the 3-Day Event Horse. That is like the eventer's Bible, and I love that book and the exercises that he puts in the back of it. If anybody doesn't have that, Training the 3-Day Event Horse, even if you don't have an event horse, that you want to teach your horse to jump and be bold and brave and have, you know, just passion for the whole sport, then definitely get that book because it is worth it. And wow, way to kiss up to the judges too, man.
Well, you know, and another point that about Jimmy and myself, and hopefully I showed in the challenge, was structure and discipline. It takes a lot of discipline to be structured. And a lot of people, they take offense to discipline and structure, or they want to avoid it. They know they need structure and discipline, but it's almost like talking to a smoker and said, you really should quit smoking. And they say, yeah, I know, it's bad for my health. And when I see somebody avoiding structure and discipline, I just say, well, obviously you don't want it bad enough. And if you really want to get good at this sport and if you really want to succeed in riding and balancing the horse, you really have to want it and face the consequences of structure and discipline. And it takes a lot.
Well, nobody knows more about it than you. Now, I say that because at the end of the whole thing, you were given the choice of receiving a portrait of any horse that you wanted to have done by artist Leland Neff. Now, tell us what horse you picked to have a portrait done of, and tell us about him.
Well, I picked Stonehenge Heritage was his show name, and Kibbles was his barn name. Here in the word Kibbles, because when my parents and my brother went to go look at him, he was actually on his way to the meat wagon. And I think they bought him for only $800. My brother started him with my parents. And then when Kenny went to school, I went about taking the ride and brought him all the way up to the 4-star level and going to Rolex. And there's one big story of him that I realized, and every horse has a big mark in their moment when you'll never forget about the heart of their personality. And that's when I was competing him at Fox Hall, which is a CCI 3-star.
In Georgia.
Stirrup leather. I'm sorry?
I said the 3-star in Georgia that they had for a couple of years.
That's right. My stirrup leather broke halfway through the course. And luckily, I got to see Mark Todd's ride around Badminton when he did it with one stirrup. So I took the rest of the stirrup off the saddle and rode half the course without a stirrup going around a 3-star course. And at the very end of the Fox Hall course, there's a long ascending hill that keeps going up, up, up. And when you're at the top of this mountain, you could see the whole showgrounds, the top of the tents. I mean, it's an amazing view. But whatever goes up must come down. And there was a big bank jump on the top of this hill that we jumped straight down this hill, and at the very base of the hill was a little skinny mushroom jump. I was worried about this whole ride with two stirrups, let alone one. And when I came down to this bank and he had to jump off the end of the earth for me, and I was of no influence and he did it for me, I knew this horse would do jump off the end of the earth for me regardless of his safety. I mean, he was just an amazing horse that has put me in the limelight of upper level competition.
Oh my God, I got goosebumps. I went to Fox Hall every year, and I remember you go all the way up that hill, straight up, and then you have to like jump through some jumps in the woods there, and then there was the down. And oh my God, I remember the last year they had a bounce going down, a brush bounce going down the hill, and I was like, there's no way a horse can do this, no way. And you did that with one stirrup. What an amazing horse. Please give him a cookie for us. But that's great that you're gonna get the portrait done of him. And where is he now?
He's at my parents' farm in Kenosha, Wisconsin. He's actually giving some starter lessons, and he moves just like he did in the past, and everyone that rides him gets to actually feel what it's like for a horse to go on the bit and stretch into your hands and go for a little dance.
Oh, my gosh, I want to come ride him. It's like beginner riders riding a four-star horse. That just doesn't seem fair. Well, good. I am so happy for you. Are you going to be doing clinics? Do you do tours of clinics or anything like that? Where can people find out where you are? Do you have a website?
Yeah, I've got to update my clinic schedule because they're just piling up. And, yes, I'm going to have them on my website where I'm going to be giving clinics. And whoever's interested in hosting a clinic, feel free to contact me via email. And my website is eric@ericdirks.com.
And so ericdirks.com is the website, eric@ericdirks.com. If you want to have him come and teach you, sound like you're an awesome teacher, and obviously you won the Retired Racehorse Training Challenge. Any interest in going and picking up that horse that you won with?
I would have loved to. Unfortunately, I have to think of financial responsibility, but, you know, I would really love to have that horse in my barn, and maybe I could drum up a few people to help me out get her, because
I was
going to
say, Eric, there
should
be a rule that horse people shouldn't have to be financially responsible. There should be a rule. It should be a law. We shouldn't have to be financially responsible because, you know, horses are expensive and we like lots of them, and we should just be allowed to have whatever we have and not worry about paying.
Well, you know, if you ever have an open stall, you know you're going to fill it. So, That's advice to people. If you're ever going to build a five-stall barn and just have three horses, that's just not going to happen.
Now, Eric,
you're going to end up owning five horses.
No. See, you're wrong here, because what really happens is you have five stalls and six horses. Or like we have right now at my house, we have seven stalls and eight horses. I don't know what it is about always having to I call it pasture sharing. We're pasture sharing now.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and that's what I'm doing here right now, and boy, I would have loved it to bring her back.
Oh, man. Well, we are going to keep up with you, Eric. We'd love to have you back on the show. Please keep in touch with us, and congratulations. I want to see a copy of the painting when it's done, and give Kibbles a big carrot for us.
You bet. Thanks a lot, Glenn and Jamie, and I love your show.
All right. Thanks, Eric.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Guy's awesome.
You weren't here when he was on. It was Wendy that was here. You were out sick that day when we had him on a week ago, weren't you?
No, I was not here. I had the sinus infection, and you told me I wasn't allowed to be on the show. But I want to go ahead and point out that he did not call me Wendy one time.
No, he's pretty good at that. And I think he actually does listen to the show occasionally. So there you go. That's good. I mean, he's a great guest. He's just he's so intelligent, and... you know, he can come back anytime he wants to. He has an open invitation.
Absolutely. And all the trainers that we had on, all three of them came on at one point. And boy, you know, between Stuart and all the trainers, it was just a really passionate event and just fantastic for the whole sport of retraining racehorses and kind of getting it out there and letting people know that it can be done. And hopefully more people will go ahead and do that. And if they do need trouble, find help of a professional trainer. But my gosh, they're such talented athletes. And they've seen so much that it's just great that they spotlighted them and had such a great turnout.
And, of course, we'll be following round two whenever round two starts. I'm sure Stuart will let us know what's going to go on in round two. Sounds like there's going to be more horses, more competitors, and they're going to try and get more of the community involved. But this one sure did have a terrific response. And, you know, how cool is it that they packed the stadium there? And when you do pack that, we've been in that one many times there in Pennsylvania, and when you do pack that one, it kind of has an electric atmosphere. So I'm sure the horses were feeling that too. Really neat. Really good stuff. Thank you so much to Eric for coming on short notice this morning. And he probably would have rather just stayed in bed today. But when you're into horses, you can't do that, can you? You know that story.
No. And you know that Eric is a horse person, and he was probably up at 5.
Yes.
So we just interrupted a ride, probably.
Well, thank you, everybody. We'll be back again tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. here on Horses in the Morning. You know, don't forget that you can listen to the show a number of different ways. You can hear us on iTunes. Just search for Horses in the Morning and download it automatically through iTunes to your player and listen while you ride or drive. You know, we have a lot of listeners that drive in the car. I heard that there was a little bit of an issue with some people getting the show from last Friday on iTunes. I think that has been fixed. I didn't have any trouble, so I think iTunes may have had a hiccup. If you go back in and hit your refresh button on your podcast in iTunes, last Friday's show will come in there with the Farriers and the Hoof and the Huff competition, or controversy, rather. So you'll hear that, and that's about it. Don't forget also that if you want to, you can call in and listen to the show at our call-in number at 347-637-3238. We had a number of people listening on our call-in line today. You just call in and you just listen on the phone. What people do is they set us up as a friends and family on their plans, and that way they don't have to pay for the calls. And if you want to listen to the show that way, you can as well. Well, that's it, Jamie. You have a great rest of the day, and we'll talk to you tomorrow morning.
Sounds good, everybody. Have a great day. Spay, neuter, geld, and go ride a racehorse. Come on. No, you want one.
With a helmet.
You can have one of mine. I got like 9.